So we are coming toward the end of our Easter season theme of living in unity together as an Easter people. This is the fourth of our five-part series on this important topic. And since our children are up with us for the first time since we began the series, I just want to, for both them and for us, review where we've come from. We began the series by looking at the wonderful prayer of Jesus in John 17, his high priestly prayer for unity. And one of the things we learned from that is that God does not expect us all to be the same. God is not about uniformity, about everyone being the same, but rather he expects us in our differences and with our different gifts and perspectives to come together and unite around a common love for Jesus and a common commitment to do the work of Jesus in the world. And we see that reflected in part of that prayer in John 17. Then after that, we followed it up with the story of Jesus welcoming an outsider, the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. It would be like, for our children and our youth, it would be like the kid in your class that everyone ignores or makes fun of. Jesus takes a particular interest in reaching out and including them in the family of God. And we see that and saw that in the story of the woman at the well, Jesus welcoming and breaking down barriers to welcome the outsider. Last week, we looked at Acts chapter 6, where the followers of Jesus fixed a problem that they themselves had created by treating some of those in their church unfairly. And they addressed that in a very wonderful way, and a very wonderful solution came of it. Now today we're going to look into the Old Testament. We're going to move out of the New into the Old to Numbers chapter 12. And here we're going to see how damaging criticism and prejudice, how damaging that can be to our unity. Negative criticism and prejudice, how damaging it can be to the unity in the body of Christ. And negative criticism is one kind, not the only kind, but one kind of talking badly about someone else. So everybody, if you would please turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 12. We'll begin looking at that story. You'll find it on page 226 in your brown Bible in your pews. Now the story begins with Miriam and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron are Moses' brother and sister. And they're talking badly about Moses because he had married a woman, as the text says, who is a Cushite, or a woman from the land of Cush. Now Moses, we know, is God's chosen leader of the people of Israel and children. I know you've been studying, as the video showed us today, children, you've been studying about that part of the Old Testament leading up to the children leaving Israel. Gianna, where's Gianna? There you are, Gianna. How did God speak to Moses to tell him he was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land? That's right, through the burning bush. You listened well. Good for you. Now, why did Miriam and Aaron talk badly about Moses' wife from Cush? Well, there's a number of reasons I think that are in play here. She was, being from Cush, she was from a different culture. Secondly, she didn't look like the rest of the Israelites. It's quite likely that she was of a different race. Cush is thought to be what is today modern Ethiopia. So Moses' wife was quite possibly an African woman. And so it's quite possible that Moses and his wife from Cush were a biracial couple. And she was definitely a foreigner. And what we see in the comments of Miriam that are supported by Aaron is that they were definitely prejudiced against Moses' wife, and they were critical of Moses because he had married a woman who was different from them in ways that do not matter at all to God. In fact, in ways that are good. Because again, what God desires is unity, not uniformity. I was listening to the news this week on WTTW, the PBS News Report, and they had a special feature about the rise of nationalism around the world. And one of the hallmarks of nationalism around the world is that it engages in speech that excludes and talks badly about those who are different from those in that movement, who are on the outside. God hates that. Let's just be clear, God hates that. And Aaron and Miriam were engaging in that kind of talk. Aaron and Miriam, we learned as well from the text, were also proud that God had made them leaders of the nation of Israel. But their leadership was secondary to that of Moses. So they were also jealous of Moses. Ashley, would you help me with this one? I'm going to read the first verse, if you would read the second one. Look in the text. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Yeah, so you see some of the jealousy and envy in their response and what they are saying about both his wife and then about Moses as well. And the text says, and the Lord heard what they were saying. God takes talking badly about others and bigotry very seriously because of how it can hurt that person, but also because it can be so hurtful to his people. When people talk badly about others behind their back, and that's what Aaron and Miriam are doing, or even to their face, it can really damage the unity of the church. So God says to Moses, he says to Aaron and Miriam, I want to meet with all three of you right now in the special place of meeting. That's my paraphrase of verse 4 in the text. And God was angry, God was upset, God was mad because what Miriam and Aaron were doing really hurt them. It hurt Moses, it hurt his wife, and it hurt God's people. So follow along with me as we pick up in verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in vision. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, Miriam and Aaron should have known better, that what they were saying and the attitude that it conveyed was not pleasing to God. Do you see how seriously, Liliana, God takes speaking badly, negatively about others? Yeah? You see that? Do you see how seriously God takes the sin of prejudice or bigotry? And we see that by what God did then to Miriam. God made Miriam get sick with leprosy as a warning about how dangerous her sins against Moses and against Moses' wife were. Now, it may seem like God's being really hard here, but let's remember what's at stake. The punishment that God gives to Miriam was necessary. And in some ways, in many ways, it fit the sin that she had committed. Because talking badly about others, especially behind their backs, is kind of like leprosy. You know, leprosy often starts as a small spot or a rash on the skin. It can almost go unnoticed when it begins, but it can spread fast, and it can do a lot of damage. And that's what talking about others can do as well. It can start out small. It may not seem like that big a deal, but it can spread and infect the whole body. And talking badly about others or encouraging prejudice can also infect the whole body of Christ in a local church. And so Miriam and Aaron's negative criticism and prejudice could have torn apart the children of Israel. So God had to act swiftly, and he had to act decisively, and he had to act strongly. And that's exactly what God does. But the story doesn't end with that. So when Aaron sees what happens to his sister, he knew that he had done wrong, that they had done wrong, that they had sinned big time. And so he pleaded with Moses to pray and to ask God to forgive them and to heal Miriam. And that's exactly what Moses did. Can I get a volunteer to read the second part of verse 10 through verse 13? Someone out there got your Bible open? All right, Ellen, would you please stand and read that part? Okay, stop right there, Ellen. You're doing such a great job, and I need you to stop right there. Thank you. It's just good to get in the Word, right? Now, it would have been really easy for Moses to say, you know, Miriam, Aaron, you were mean to me and my wife, and you talked badly about us. You did it behind our back. I'm not going to do a single thing to help you. But as you hear from the text, that's not what Moses did. And you know why? Because Moses knew that in spite of being hurt very deeply by his brother and sister, that they were part of his family. They were not only part of his blood family, but they were also part of the people of God. And I believe God wants three things to happen when we treat each other badly or say some bad and hateful things about someone else. The first thing that God wants to happen when criticism runs the risk of crippling a body of Christ, the first thing is God wants the person who commits the wrong to admit that they were wrong. Admit it to God and to that person that they have wronged. The Bible calls this confessing our sin. And Aaron, as you see in the text, and we assume Miriam, did that. They confessed their sin. The second thing God wants to happen is he wants the person who was wrong to be like God himself and to forgive the one who has wronged them, to sincerely accept their apology. And Moses, and we assume his wife here as well, did that. But finally, God then wants everybody to work together to bring about healing and to restore true and loving unity in the body of Christ, the church. And as you will notice, the people of Israel did that. So, picking up in verse 14, the Lord replied to Moses, If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her, being Miriam, outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. There was some healing that needed to happen in Miriam, some healing that needed to happen in the relationship. And so there was this period of time that Miriam was outside the camp, as was prescribed by Levitical law. But you notice the people waited, right? They waited for Miriam. She's still a part of them. And only after she had healed and was brought back into the fellowship did they then move on together. And that's where the chapter ends. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped then in the desert of Paran. All right, so in your bulletins, you have something special. Take out this little sheet, if you will, all of you. This is seed paper. There are seeds embedded in this sheet of paper. Thinking about this text this morning, it made me realize that we all have places in our life where we need to grow when it comes to negative criticism, of speaking badly about others. Perhaps we're aware of places in our life where we still harbor some prejudice or bigotry. Or maybe this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the need to do the opposite of what Miriam and Aaron did, and rather than speak the words that they did about Moses' Cushite wife, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the need to grow in kindness or in patience toward others. I want to encourage you just to take your seed paper and write where God is calling you to grow in light of the word that perhaps you've heard this morning from either the text in Numbers or the gospel lesson that Joel read about loving one another. How is God speaking to you today and wanting you to grow in a way that would promote true and loving unity in the body of Christ? Write that down on your seed paper. Would you do it right now? Just take a couple of moments and do that. At the end of our service this morning, you'll be given some instructions then as to what to do next. But I want us to close with this thought. You know, the Bible doesn't say, but I think it's pretty safe to assume that as the children of Israel continue to travel to the Promised Land, Moses and his wife from Cush probably invited Miriam and Aaron over to join them for dinner in their tent from time to time. And when they came and when they ate together, Miriam and Aaron, I hope, and I really do believe, came to know deep down in their hearts that this woman from Cush was just as much a part of the family of God as they were, that she was just as much their sister in the Lord as Moses was their brother. You know, that's what God had in mind all along. And you remember, of course, that many years later, his son Jesus said that many will come from east and from west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. For when we gather in love, in unity, around a shared meal, this is one of the best ways we can express our true belonging as brothers and sisters in the family of God, united, all different, but united in the common Lord and the common mission he's called us to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.